الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين، ولا عاقبة للمتقين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قال الله تعالى في شان حبيبه: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا وأصحاب سيدنا ومولانا محمد المبارك وسلم. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا سيدي يا رسول الله، وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رحمة للعالمين، وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا شفيع المسلمين. Alhamdulillah, with the mercy and blessings of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, we are here in weekly Darse Hadith program. I pray to Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, Allah bless us all and Allah open our hearts that we can get the blessings from the Hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala grant us shafaat and intercession of His beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the Day of Judgment. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. As we know that this is weekly Darse Hadith, and we are learning Hadith of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is a very famous book of Hadith, Mishkatul Masabih. This is the name of book, Mishkatul Masabih, and actually this is the collection of different Hadith of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from famous hadith books like Sahih Bukhari, Muslim, Tirmizi, Nisa'i, Ibn Majah. So this is collection from Sahih Sitta, which is another common terminology in hadith. That means the six authentic books of hadith. So this person, the author of this book, collected the hadith from all these six famous books and some other books as well. So today, this is the hadith number 21. And let's see that we can learn two or three hadiths. It's almost the same topic, and inshallah, we would be able to learn some lessons from this. An Mu'azin radiallahu ta'ala qala, kuntu radifan nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ala himarin laysa bayni wa baynahu illa mu'akhkharatul rahm. Mu'az bin Jabal radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he is one of the outstanding sahabi of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a teenager who was dedicated, devoted Muslim, and who learned a lot from Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was always so kind to him, and he was also the person who was appointed by Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as governor to Yemen. So you can see that how smart that sahabi is. So, and he had a lot of time, he learned a lot from Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and also his IQ or his intelligence was very, very famous and amongst the sahaba. So he said, one time he was radif of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Radif means when you are riding with someone. So Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was riding and he was behind the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why is telling all this thing? So there might be some reasons. One of the reasons, that how close he was with Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, relationship with Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and no doubt it is outstanding barakah that you were so close to Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it might be that reason. Our muhaddithin said there might be another reason, that he is trying to explain that he heard it directly from Prophet. He was not too far. If you are too far, so maybe in understanding you missed some words. Right? So he is trying to tell the whole scenario, when and how Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam addressed to him, and what did Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him. So he said, between him and Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was a rahal, which was used when you are riding on camel or donkey or any other animal, which we say kajava, right? So there is a barrier of wood between two people, like two seats. So one on one seat, other on other seat, right? So it's, there is a barrier between two people. And he's saying here that they were on himar, which is as known as a donkey. And here we learn another thing, that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who is master of all messengers, but still he is so humble, and he is using ordinary animals for a ride, that people don't feel ashamed or dishonor any other creation of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So this is kind of humbleness. It's not that because I am Prophet, I would only get ride on a horse or camel. So riding on a donkey or other animal, it's I don't deserve that. He's not saying that. So that tells that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was so humble, and he is giving us lesson, especially the poor people in his community, in his ummah, that they should not feel shy, or they should not hesitate from anything. Like nowadays people, they can shy. Oh, why I get ride on a cycle or motorcycle or bike or this kind of car, I deserve that kind of car, you know. So these things people mostly have, and when once they have these things, then they face many problems and troubles and issues, right? So that tells the simplicity that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam lived a simple life. So then he said, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to me, Ya Mu'az, O Mu'az, he spoke to me. And some other hadith, versions of hadith, said that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke to him. He said, Ya Mu'az, and he said, Labbaik wa sa'daik, I am present, I am here to listen. And Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam repeatedly said those words 2-3 times. Why? To get his attention, that totally person can pay attention and listen. So he said, هَلْ تَدْرِي مَا حَقُّ اللَّهِ عَلَىٰ عِبَادِهِ وَمَا حَقُّ الْعِبَادِ عَلَىٰ اللَّهِ. What is the right of Allah on His creation, on human being, on mankind? What is the haqq, a right of Allah? And he said, Allah wa Rasuluhu a'lam, Allah and His Rasul knows better. So he's not saying that I don't know. No. And here we can also see that Sahaba, how much they had respect for Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whenever they did not know anything, so they said Allah knows, or His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam knows. So this tells us or gives us a lesson that most knowledgeable is only and only Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And He is the creator of whole universe. And no one has knowledge as Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has. But in creation, who has the most knowledge? The most knowledgeable person in this planet is Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There is no doubt at all. So that's why the Sahabi is saying, Allah wa Rasuluhu a'lam. Allah knows and His Prophet knows. So Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that مَا حَقُّ الْعِبَادِ مَا حَقُّ الْعِبَادِ عَلَى اللَّهِ قُلْتُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَعْلَمُ قَالَ فَإِنَّ حَقُّ اللَّهِ عَلَى الْعِبَادِ أَنْ يَعْبُدُوهُ وَلَا يُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا. So the right of Allah, there are many rights of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Today people are always talking about the rights. So what is the utmost important right of our Creator? That we worship none but Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Ibadat of Allah, this is the first, utmost important, required duty and right for each and every person on this planet. As Allah said in Quran, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. We created jinn and insan, human being, just for my worship. So this is the basic idea that Allah created us, that we worship Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. But again, worshipping Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala means only and only Allah should be worshipped. No partner, no associate, no son, no daughter, nothing. وَلَا يُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا. And don't commit shirk. Don't associate anyone besides Allah. Why? Because إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ وَيُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala would not forgive the shirk. Polytheism. You associate someone beside Allah. What's that mean? You worship a statue. You worship anyone, angel, or any prophet, or anyone besides Allah. Or you think that there are two in control of whole universe. Or there is someone else who deserves to be worshipped. So these all things are known as act of shirk. And shirk is not forgiven. So here, Prophet ﷺ is giving him this lesson that the utmost important thing is that worship Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala and do not associate anyone with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And then, what is مَا حَقُّ الْعِبَادِ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Then Prophet ﷺ asked him, do you know what is the right of creation over Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala? Again, as I explained it earlier in previous lecture, there is nothing wajib on Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. There's nothing we can say, we deserve it to Allah, give it to us. This is the karam, generosity, and mercifulness of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, that He is saying that, okay, this is your right. But otherwise, there is no compulsion, there is nothing obligation, or Allah has to do this and this, this. No. If we worship, and Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala grant us the blessings of Jannah, this is the blessing and rahmah of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Right? So Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam answered, "Bihaqqul ibadi ala Allahi, alla yu'adhdhiba man la yushriku bihi shay'a." That what is your haqq as a human being when you are worshipping Allah, you are not committing shirk, and you believe in oneness of Allah, and you are a true believer and worshipper. So what do you deserve? Prophet ﷺ is saying, with the rahmah, with the karam of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, he said that Allah would not punish you in hellfire. So Allah, that's if you are sincere, you are mukhlis, you are true believer and worshipper, you are not associating anyone besides Allah, so that's what you deserve. But again, no one can say that I deserve it, oh Allah, give it to me. This haqqul ibad is with the offer of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. This is offer from Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. This is His generosity, this is His karam, this is His blessing that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala granting us that as a blessing and as a barakah. قُلْتُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. So because this conversation is one-to-one, two people, Mu'az, the Sahabi, and Prophet ﷺ. So now he asked, قُلْتُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ أَفَلَا أُبَشِّرُ بِهِ النَّاسِ قَالَ لَا تُبَشِّرْهُمْ فَيَتَّكِلُوا. So Prophet ﷺ, when he asked the question, he said, O Allah's Messenger, can I give this bishara, this good news, this glad tiding to everyone? So Prophet ﷺ said, no, don't tell other people. Why? Because Prophet ﷺ said, then people would depend only this thing. They would not do a'mal-e saliha, good deeds. If people knew that, and there is another hadith that Mu'az radiallahu ta'ala who narrated this hadith while he was on his bed, he was dying. And then he told this hadith. Why? Because he thought, because concealing the ilm, if you know something about deen and religion, hadith or Quran or something, and you conceal it, you hide it, you do not tell it to other, that is another sin. So he told this hadith while he was departing from this dunya, he thought maybe this would be a sin. So why should I keep it to me? Now I should reveal and I should tell this secret to other people. So here we learn, it should be kept secret. Why? Because then people, they would be lazy to perform salah, zakah, hajj, and doing all good deeds. Why it should be told? It should be told that people have the hope of forgiveness from Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So as getting blessings of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, getting hope of mercy of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, that is something good. And there are many, many ahadith which are discussing this issue. And this hadith is narrated by Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim. And many, many other muhaddithin quoted this hadith. And similar to this hadith, there are many other hadith which gives the same meaning or same idea, that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala would forgive those who are true, sincere worshipper or believer of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. If you have iman, you are believing in the oneness of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, so then Allah tabarak wa ta'ala would grant you Jannah. However, there might be a case, a person would go in hellfire for his sins for a while, we don't know how long, and he would be punished, and then he would be forgiven again. As this hadith, another hadith that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that hadith is also in Sahih Sitta, the sixth most authentic books of hadith, that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the people who would be in Jannah, they would ask, Wallah, we had, Ya Allah, kanu ikhwanana. We had some brothers who were with us in dunya. Kanu yusalluna ma'ana. We were praying together. We were praying together. Wa yasumuna ma'ana. And they were fasting with us. We were living in dunya. They were our friends. And we were praying. We were worshipping. Wa kanu yahujuna ma'ana. And they were doing hajj with us. They performed hajj with us. وَكَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ مَعَنَا. And we were doing amal, amal, deeds together. But we cannot see them. They are أَدْخَلْتَهُمْ فِي النَّارِ. They are in hellfire. They are in Jannah. But they are talking about their buddies or their friends who are sitting or living or praying or doing good deeds with them in dunya. And now they are missing them and they are asking Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So Allah tabarak wa ta'ala would permit them, izhabu fa akhrijuhum man araftum. The one you recognize, you realize that this was your friend and he was a mu'min, he was a Muslim and he was praying or worshipping with you, go and bring him to Jannah. There are many hadith, you know. And there is another hadith. How would they realize them? How they would recognize them? The hellfire would burn all the body, but would not burn the face. Face is still same. Why? That when the time of shafaat or intercession would come, so they would realize and recognize, oh, this person I know. So this is the benefit of praying together, worshipping together, or doing good deeds together. You know? So, what we learn from this hadith, that the utmost and important thing and duty is a Muslim, a believer, a person should worship Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. He should have iman in his heart, in depth of his heart, and he should only and only worship Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. There is another hadith, and that is also mentioned by Imam Muslim, Sahih Muslim, very authentic hadith. Ghazwa of Tabuk, the expedition of Tabuk. So some Sahaba, because that is also known Ghazwato Jusra, when it was a hard time for people to get the means and sources, you know. So it was hard for other people that. So, So Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, discussing with Sahaba the situation. Sayyidina, the Sahaba, they came to Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They said, "We do not find different things here. We do not have food. We do not have water. So if you permit, O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what we can do, we can slaughter some of the animals, some of the camels what we have." So Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam permitted them. Okay, go and do it. So when they went, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala came. You know, the Umar radiallahu ta'ala, who was a very, very important Sahabi, who was very outstanding personality in Islam. So when Umar radiallahu ta'ala came, and he asked Allah's Messenger, "Did you permit them that they can slaughter the camels?" So Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Yes." So Umar radiallahu ta'ala said, "O Allah's Messenger, we already have very short camels, rides, or horses. So if they slaughter animals, so then there would be a huge problem for us. So I have some other opinion or idea." So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him, "What is your opinion?" It's in Sahih Muslim, and I can show you this hadith. So the Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he said, "O Allah's Messenger, why don't you command and order that all the Sahaba, whatever they have, tiny, minor food, whatever they have of their remaining, so bring everything here. And once they bring everything here, and they put on together, and then you make dua of barakah. And then Allah would, hopefully, when you make dua of barakah, Allah would grant us the barakah, and then inshallah we will be able to fill our need." Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam liked his idea, opinion of Umar radiallahu anhu. You see here, so mashwara, or getting opinion, is another blessing. When Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard it, he liked this idea, and he told all the Sahaba. 30,000 Sahaba were there. Huge army, 30,000. So everybody, whatever, like you have piece of bread, they brought it. Someone have some dates, he brought it. So whatever everyone had, so they all put together on the table. What's your kid? Dastarkhan? Kya kya hai usko? Alright. So everything was put there. And now, there is the hadith. فَدَعَى رَسُولُ اللَّهِ بِالْبَرَكَةِ, that Prophet ﷺ made dua of barakah. And I don't understand, when we make dua, when food is there, so some people, I don't know why they have allergy. And they're saying, "Oh, this is haram," or this and that. The Prophet himself, this is hadith in Muslim. The food was there, and Prophet ﷺ made dua of barakah. And people say, "Oh no, because you read Quran on this, I'm not going to eat it, it's haram." Astaghfirullah, brother. It's common sense. When you eat food, what do you say before? At least Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Is that right? So Bismillah is also what Quran. If reading one ayat of Quran will not make the food spoiled or haram, so how come if you read the 10 or 20 ayat of Quran and now food is haram? You got it? Actually, one of our teachers, he was very smart. We asked him why people have allergy and they don't eat food if we read Quran or we make dua, and then they don't eat this food. So he said, "You know what? There is a hadith." He said, "What is the hadith?" He said, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there was a person, he was eating food and he forgot to read Bismillah. So when he was almost finished, so then he remembered. And he said, Bismillah awwalahu wa akhirahu. And then shaitan, he did vomiting and everything was taken away. So Prophet ﷺ smiled and he was so happy. So Prophet ﷺ said, as long as he did not say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, shaitan was eating with him, the devil. And when he started Bismillah, so shaitan cannot have that food when you read Bismillah on that, so that's why he did vomiting. So our teacher, he said, that's the reason. So the when you read Quran, so shaitan or followers of shaitan or friends of shaitan, they cannot digest that food. It's funny, right? Anyway, so Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he asked Allah's Messenger and Prophet made dua, and this is hadith that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that after the Prophet made dua and Prophet said, okay, come and take food. So everybody brought his plate or whatever they had, pots, and they got the food. And all of them were full. They enjoyed the food and still food was there. And this is the barakah. And now, why I'm telling you this hadith, you could say that, oh, he changed the topic. No. When everybody was done, so Prophet ﷺ said, أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ Prophet ﷺ said that I be a witness, there is no God but Allah, and I am the Rasul and Messenger of Allah. And Allah promised me, that these are the wording of Sahih Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, that Prophet ﷺ said, anyone who says this kalima from depth of his heart without any shak, raib, doubt, with yaqeen, with confidence, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Anyone who is saying that, so it is Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, then that person would be entered to Jannah, heaven. No matter if someone have some mistakes, so he might be given some punishment. So that's why it's very important to understand the importance of Iman. Because Iman is the most precious thing. And if somebody is leaving Iman and going to disbelief, you lost everything. There is another hadith that is also in Bukhari and Muslim. Sahaba, they were sitting together, and Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he left and he went to a garden, entered into a garden, and they were waiting, and then Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, he said, he was curious that what happened. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went alone. If he needed something, or maybe some enemy can attack on him, so I should go and take care of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he said when he came closer to the garden, it was locked. So then he had seen a small space or small lake of water. So he said he went there and he entered into the garden and he saw Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was prostrating. He was doing sajda. And when Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw me, and Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked Abu Huraira what happened. So he said he was curious and worried about the Prophet. That's why he came from the lake and he entered. Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, go. And anyone who meets you saying La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, give him bishara, glad tidings of Jannah. And as a guarantee, someone can say that, what is the salat? What is the proof? As a proof, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, fa'atahu na'alayhi. So Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had given his slippers, his nalain, as a proof. And now he is holding the nalain, the slippers of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he is rushing towards the other people. And when he is on his way, so he met Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala. So when he met Umar, Umar said, Abu Huraira, where are you going? What's wrong? What happening? Where are you going? So he said, Prophet told me that anyone who meets you and is saying, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, give him glad tidings of Jannah. So Umar, glad tidings of Jannah, bishara of Jannah, good news of Jannah for you. So Umar said, no, don't do that. Don't say it. Don't tell it to anyone. He said, no, I will tell. No. You cannot tell. Who told you? Prophet. What is the proof? He said, I have the na'lan of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You see, the Sahaba, they have respect for the na'lan, even the slippers of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Saying, this is the proof. And now, he is you can say emotional. I have to do it because Prophet told me to do. And Umar, he knows the sir, the secrets of Islam, or the preaching of Islam, or teachings of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Umar is saying, I will not let you go. He said, no, I would go. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala pushed him back. He fell down, Abu Huraira radiallahu. And now Abu Huraira rushed back towards Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, what happened, Abu Huraira? He said, I met Umar, and Umar said, don't tell anyone. I will not let you do that. So in that while, Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he also reached there in the garden. And Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after salam and greeting, so Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, why did you do that? So Umar radiallahu ta'ala said, then people would depend on that and they would not practice anymore. They would not do good deeds. They would think, okay, when we are Muslim, we will go to Jannah, and then they would not do the good deeds. And here some people would might have doubt why Umar is saying this and Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because Umar definitely heard this hadith before from Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he knew it. That's why Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was telling that time to Abu Huraira. So some muhaddiseen and scholar, they said, actually, once you are preaching, once you are worshipping Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, so there are different situations. Once you have the qualities or attributes of Allah, He is Rahim, He is Kareem, He is Ghafoor. So once the Rahma or Sifa of Ghafoor of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is attentive towards Prophet or towards His beloved, so then he talks about those things. Okay, tell them the glad tidings. But Umar was experiencing the sifa of Jalal of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Right? And when Umar radiallahu ta'ala said to Prophet that people would depend on that and they would not do the good deeds, so then Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, okay, Umar is right, don't tell this to other people. So again, what we learn from here, that Iman is very, very powerful thing. And the person who has Iman is a very, very lucky person, because Iman is the only thing which will take you to Jannah. And what is the Iman? La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. We have to believe in the oneness of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala and the messengership, the last messengership of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this hadith is giving us lessons that we should never be disappointed from the mercy of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. He is most kind and merciful. Even though we commit many sins, we make many mistakes, but still Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, He is most kind and merciful. He can forgive us. There is another hadith is similar to that. An Anas radiyallahu ta'ala anna an-nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ma'az radifahu ala al-rahli ya ma'az qala labbayka ya rasulullah wa sa'dayk qala ya ma'az qala labbayka ya rasulullah wa sa'dayk qala ya ma'az qala labbayka ya rasulullah wa sa'dayk thalathan قال ما من أحد يشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسول الله صدقا من قلبه إلا حرمه الله على النار قال يا رسول الله أفلا أخبر به الناس فيستبشروا قال إذن يتكلوا فأخبر بها معاذ عند موته تأثما متفق عليه بخاري المسلم. This I told you, the hadith is similar with the different wordings that Muaz radiallahu ta'ala said. He explained this hadith when he was dying, that he should not conceal the knowledge what he got from Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that's why he told it to other people. Allahu Akbar. And this last hadith, and then inshallah we conclude. Ya Allah. An Abi Zarrin radiallahu ta'ala qala ataytu an-nabiyya sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abu Zar Ghaffari, he said, I came to Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is another extraordinary Sahabi of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Might be seventh or eighth number Muslim. seventh Muslim or eighth Muslim, Abu Zar Ghafari رضي الله تعالى. وعليه ثوب أبيض وهو نائم ثم أتيته وقد استيقظ. So when I came, so Prophet ﷺ, he had a white sheet on him and he was sleeping. When he woke up, he said he came back again. فقال ما من عبد قال لا إله إلا الله ثم مات على ذلك إلا دخل الجنة. قلت وإن زنا وإن سرق قال وإن زنا وإن سرق قلت وإن زنا وإن سرق قال وإن زنا وإن سرق قلت وإن زنا وإن سرق على رغم أنف أبي ذر وكان أبو ذر إذا حدث بهذا قال وإن رغم أنف أبي ذر متفق عليه. So he said when Prophet ﷺ was awake, so Prophet told and he said, anyone who is saying La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, the one who is mu'min, believer, the believing in oneness of Allah, and he died on that. Because there are many people, some hadith explains, there are many people, they live as a Muslim, they are known as a Muslim, but when they die, so shaitan take their iman, and they die as a kafir, a disbeliever. There are many people who live as a kafir or disbeliever, but before the death, they get the iman, and when they die as a mu'min and believer. So that's why, khatima bil iman, we have to make that dua, that Allah grant us the khatima, or death with iman. Right? So, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, anyone who died with iman, so he would enter the Jannah. And now Abu Zar, he said, wa in zana wa in sara, even if he committed adultery or he stole something. So Prophet said, yes, even if he did that. Abu Zar, he was shocked. He again saying, even if he did this, Prophet said, yes. 3-4 times he's asking. And Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as we say in our conversation, whatever. So Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, ala raghmi anfi Abi Zar, even you put dust on your nose, even then Abu Zar, this is the decision of Allah's mercy that he cannot keep a believer for forever. That means khulud fin nar. He cannot have khulud fin nar, means living forever in hellfire. So Allah's mercy would never accept that he leave any believer forever into hellfire. There might be partial or minimum or some punishment, or there might be even all being forgiven with the rahmah of Allah or with the shafa'at of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Prophet ﷺ was sitting, once he was traveling with his Sahaba, and he saw that there was a lady and she had a baby and she was taking care of her baby. So Prophet ﷺ asked the Sahaba, what do you think? Would she tolerate, or she can see that her child is thrown in fire? So Sahaba said, no. How come a mother can see that her own child is thrown in fire? No, mom cannot tolerate that. Right? Because they have so much love. Right? That this is the love which Allah put in the hearts of mother for child. Mother cannot, you had seen many cases. We had our neighbors, so they were living in fourth or fifth floor, and they had one hen and chicken. And she had the little babies. Chicks. So one day, I think a bird came, eagle or something like that, and took one of them and flew. So you know that it's fourth floor, and the chicken cannot fly, but it ran and flew and fell down on the street. Why? Because of the love of the baby. So this is the love. And one of our sheikh, he told that once he was on the river Ravi at Lahore, he said, I saw that one woman, very poor, who was working in some place. So when she finished her job as a laborer, so she was holding her baby, And she was playing with the baby, and throwing up and holding. And all of a sudden, the baby fell down into the water. So she jumped into the water. You know, it's very high on the road, and the baby fell down, and she knew that she cannot save. But she said, she cannot save, but she can die with the baby. So that is the love. That's what I'm talking about. A mother has for a child. So Prophet ﷺ said, if she cannot tolerate, she cannot see that. So Allah loves His creation, human being, 70 times more than a mother loves her kid. So how can Allah tabarak wa ta'ala or His mercy can tolerate that the believer should be thrown in hellfire? So what we learn from this hadith, that we should have love for Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. We should have true faith in Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. We should have only and only iman and faith in oneness of Allah. We should not associate anyone besides Allah. And also we should do our best to do good deeds continuously, performing the prayer, attending the salah, getting the Islamic knowledge, reading the hadith or seerah of Prophet ﷺ. And these things will provide us energy that we can continuously protect and save our iman. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala bless all of us, and Allah tabarak wa ta'ala grant us intercession of His beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the Day of Judgment. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. If you have any questions, you can ask now. Any question? No question? So everybody is looking at the picture. I think that is diverting their attention now. That's it?
So when he said,
true.
So now, I know the hadith is sahih, but what make Umar radiallahu anhu that say, no, don't tell the people that the Prophet agreed with that? We know another different, very tough for the people. So when we say the Prophet don't say that, I find it very difficult.
That shows your you can say closeness with Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because that's why Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said law kana ba'di nabiyyan la kana Umar ibn al-Khattab. So again, this is, and it happens in practical lives.
Yeah, but whatever the Prophet says is rules.
Exactly.
Whether the Quran, the hadith, his action is rules that the Muslim should take.
I totally agree what you're saying, but the point here is that you see the prayers were given 50 first, and then 5. So Allah knew it's 5. So why first 50? So there are hikmah, wisdom, that people can realize what is the best. So there, this hadith belongs from Babul Muhabba. You know, and this hadith also tells about the situation or your inner soul's interaction with mercy of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was experienced the sifa of rahmah. And that's why he's saying, yeah, when Allah said, tell it. And Umar is experiencing the sifa of jalal of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. You know? And it's true. If you tell these things to other person, any Muslim, so he would think, when he hears this hadith, he would say, from today I am not going to pray. Because people take it on wrong way. Right? So there is no doubt, there are many other hadiths which tells that a believer is forgiven. But again, the ulama, they made some barrier. They said, that means that if the person died as a Muslim, if he still has some sins, so might be punished, might be forgiven. So this hadith is talking, when we are saying that he would go to the Jannah, that means at the end, the final abode of that person is Jannah. So he might be in hellfire for days, for minutes, for that is the difference.
How could a Muslim say, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, have the sincerity and the belief in it and not wish to pray.
Is that? That's true. What action? What? Yeah.
So in the proof of the sincerity in La ilaha illallah Muhammadan Rasulullah, these acts of worship occur.
Mm-hmm.
Because without them, how can you guarantee? We as humans, and the created don't see this, but the lesser one of Allah knows what's in the heart, but. For us, in terms of our understanding, it's difficult to say La ilaha illallah Muhammadan Rasulullah and not be filled with an abundance of good deeds.
Actually, this is a huge discussion between the scholars that a'mal are included in iman or excluded in iman. So, according to the Jamhur A'imma, the amal are fruits of the iman, but not included as a part of iman. Right? So there are two things: nafsul iman and kamilul iman, takmilul iman. So nafsul iman, anyone who is saying la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, he is not doing any good deed. He is mu'min, but it's the basic level of iman. Got it? And if you have all good deeds, what you're supposed to do, what were assigned by Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, so this is takmeelul iman. So the takmeelul iman will lead you to Jannah with the blessings, without any fear inshallah, with the mercy of Allah. Right? But the nafsul iman or the basic of iman might have punishment some kind of trial on the day of judgment, and then finally he would come to the heaven. That's what we talk about. You know that? Because if we are saying he would go to heaven, that is on Hashr, on the day of judgment. So there is the punishment of grave. Right? Azabul Qabr Haq. So there might be people, many people. You know, it happens in many cases, even in today's court, that people is in prison, and when the final decision is made, 6 months imprisonment, and then the person was already 6 months in prison, they say okay, let him go. You know that? So this is something that there is azabul qabr, there are other punishments. But again, that's what I explained in the last verse, that there is fadl of Allah and there is adl of Allah. The fadl and mercy of Allah, whosoever he wants, he can forgive. And the adl of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala means the justice of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And then for each and every action, the person is responsible. You know, for IRS people file tax, if it's gone, so gone. And if they, what is called that? If they make objection or they
audit.
So that is very tough, you know, people are sickening. Or the business, if they get audit from IRS, very scared. So that's why Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, I think it's this in Bukhari, that one who got caught on the day of judgment with that kind of audit, he is in trouble. Yeah, it's hadith. Right? So that's why whenever make dua of mercy of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, blessings of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, rahmah of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, and as much as you can, continuously keep doing. If we think, okay, I have iman, and now neglecting the prayer and this and that, finally you can experience. If you are nafal, we perform nafal prayer, when you perform any prayer, so if you can observe yourself, nafal is not important. If you pray, you get reward. If you don't pray, no sin. Then they would come, you're going to think, sunnah. Yeah, sunnah, if you get prayer, okay, leave sunnah. It's not, it's ghair muqaddah. And then you're going to say, okay, even it's sunnah, muqaddah, it's sunnah, leave. And then they would come, okay, leave the prayer. That's the way shaitan, because our enemy is there. Alladhi yuwaswisu fi sudurin nas. Right? So that's why this is continuous struggle. When you are praying, while we are saying the answer of azan, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, it's repetition. Right? Tajdeed of iman. The person is dead. We do talqeen. Sah Shaykh? Talqeen on qabr. Right? So while the person is dead, but we still doing talqeen, however there are some spiritual benefits. The one benefit we are reminding ourselves, Allah is my Rabb, Islam is my Deen, and Muhammad is my Rasul. The person is dead after the burial. We are telling him, remember, you are Muslim, Allah is your Rabb, Muhammad is your Rasul, and Islam is your Deen. So it's not only we are telling him, so telling ourselves, we are reminding ourselves. So anything we are doing, so we are getting, once you are praying, so you are getting blessings. And you are making a web or a barrier to protect your iman. And you go for Hajj, so you are actually struggling to get shield and protection of your iman. When you are fasting, so this effort is making some kind of circle to protect your iman. When you are reading Quran, so this, there are other benefits, but one of them, you are trying to protect your iman. Once you are sitting in the masjid, not doing anything, still you are getting blessings, because this is the way you are protecting your iman. And the suhba, or the majlis, or the company, has effects. And if unfortunately someone, we had seen many people, those who were sitting with us, praying, doing everything, once they left the prayer, they left our company, they got in another company, and then we had seen, every day we had seen, beard is gone, the prayers are gone, and everything is gone, and even finally sometime, they talk about even, which is the word of disbeliefs. Why? Because of they left the track. You know, when the train is coming, and the track is changed, it's about 1 inch where they make the changes, right, for the track. It's just 1 inch. And at the end, you're going to see that the whole train from this side is gone to that side. Yeah. That's it. Yeah, again, yeah. It's another point, Dr. Usman told that there are darajat in Jannah. Lower level, upper level, you know. So it's up to you how much effort you put. Even you are in Jannah, that's the thing. You see, when we, that the hadith I told you, that the people of Jannah will come and they will take some people into Jannah, right? But that means you are being dependent on someone, right? So in dunya, no one likes to be dependent on someone. You want someone to be your dependent. You put someone as dependent on you to show that you are, you know, in better class. So why don't we do the same effort for akhirah? Why we, you know, have sabr or patience, or we prefer, okay, someone will come and take us to Jannah. Right? So that needs motivation. You know, that needs the teamwork. That needs the protection, that needs shield, that needs iman, that needs faith, that needs the struggle, continuous struggle. Why the Sahaba, they had struggle? You know? So that's why it's important. So living with the company, Nabi, you see the Nabi, and inshallah we'll make dua. Prophet, Yusuf alayhi salam, is in control, the government, everything, iqtidar, hukuma, wealth, dirham, dinar, everything is with him. What were you saying? Tawaffani muslimam walhiqni bisaliheen. His Nabi cannot commit a sin. And he's saying, oh Allah, when I die, I want to die as a Muslim, with iman, with Islam. Why? Because without Islam, without iman, you are nothing. تَوَفَّنِي مُسْلِمًا وَأَلْحِقْنِي بِالصَّالِحِينَ, and attach me with righteous people. So attachment of righteous people would give you fruit and benefit in this dunya as well as in hereafter.
Right?
Mu'az ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu, I think this happened first, and then the other incident of the garden later on. This is why it gave Mu'az the rukhsa to tell about the secret that he kept it. Because he cannot disobey the Prophet ﷺ.
That's true.
So after he heard the hadith, then he told about it.
Yeah, and also it's mentioned ta'astuman, you know. فَأَخْبَرَ بِهَا مُعَازٌ عِنْدَ مَوْتِهِ تَأَسْتُمًا. So that also the one of the reasons. And he also knew that there is rukhsa, but the preference is to see the circumstance and the situation or the community, and then you should reveal or not. You know. So there are many hadiths which at the time you should tell, or another time you should not tell. As this Mu'az, same person, when Prophet sent him to Yemen, so what he said, you are going, there are people who are not Muslim. So when they come to you, tell them about Islam. So when they take Shahada, then tell them about the prayers. Five prayers. And when they perform prayer, then tell them about Zakat. So, however, all five pillars are there. Right? But he is telling all these things step by step that people can digest and people can understand. Alright? May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq that we protect our iman and we live as a Muslim and we die as a Muslim. Ameen. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen wa laqibat al-muttaqeen wa salatu wassalamu ala seyyidil anbiya wa sallim. Allahumma rabbana zalamna anfusana wa lam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna min al-khasirin. Allahumma inna nas'aluka fi nuhurihim wa na'udhu bika min shururihim. Allahumma ya muqallib al-qulub thabbit qulubana ala deenika ya rabbil alameen. Allahumma arzuqna shafa'at nabiyyika al-kareem. Allahumma arzuqna shafa'at nabiyyika al-kareem. Allahumma ashfi mardana ya shafi al-amrad. Allahumma ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqeem. Ya rabbi bil mustafa balligh maqasidana واغفر لنا ما مضى يا واسع الكرم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين